This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station. 3 minutes after 9 o'clock, time now for WSMI Sports Saturday, brought to you by Prairie Farms Dairy in Carlinville. Taste the homemade goodness of farmer-owned Prairie Farms. Alan Pogonpole, your country financial agent in Raymond. Security National Bank in Witt, Coffeen, Irving, and Fillmore. Huff Funeral Homes in Raymond, Farmersville, and Hillsboro. Kurtz 24-hour heavy and light-duty towing in Litchfield. Hillsboro Area Hospital, your front door to a world of health care. Bruce Webb Insurance in Farmersville and Raymond. St. Louis Regional Airport in East Alton. State Farm Insurance Agent Mark Steeren in Litchfield. Nokomis Tire and Auto Repair, a name you can trust. Country Financial Agent Nathan Clements in Nokomis, and by German Seed and Chemical in Nokomis. And on this Saturday morning, the 19th day of December, here's WSMI's Tim Mize and Dave Jenkins.
Morning, Tito.
Good morning.
Hey, this time next week, Christmas will be over, and it'll be time for holiday tournament basketball.
Hoops.
Yes.
Hoops. Yes. Tournament time.
Not the true meaning of the season, but it comes in second.
Yes. A close second.
Of course.
Not really necessarily a close second, I guess. That wouldn't be good. But
it does come in second. That might help, huh?
Yeah, there you go.
Hello.
Am I there? Hey, David, welcome to the show.
Hey, glad to be here. Well, it's been, a couple weeks?
It has been. Yeah. Feeling better? You've been under the weather? Your boy's been sick as well?
A little bit. Yeah, a little bit better, yeah.
Good. On the mend.
We're going to talk a little bit about the tournament stuff, right?
Yes, we'll have our, of course, traditional coverage coming from the Carlinville Holiday Tournament beginning a week from today. And, of course, basically, other than the Nokomis boys, most area teams will be involved in some sort of holiday tournament basketball. And as we know from history, T, the Skins will be a completely different club come the 1st of January than they have been here through the first few weeks of the year.
They put them on the stove and they put them on simmer. Mm. And it simmers for about 2-3 weeks.
I always wonder what goes through the Nokomis basketball player's mind, like as they approach this time of the year and know, oh boy, no games, practice. But I guess they do know we're going to be a lot better for it.
Well, and there's a few days off in there, I suspect, for the holiday. So
also probably depends on how the first half of the season has gone. Well, not to say that the coaching is going to be any different over that holiday break, but maybe a little bit more relaxed.
Well, when you start out with 3A teams and big schools like
that's how they do it.
Yeah. That's how you do it. You know,
it's true.
You build your program. You build it for the long run, not the early success. So
no, that's exactly right.
Yeah.
Nokomis picked up a win last night over Mount Olive, 63-34. As Reed Detmers poured in 23 points, the Skins now 3-6, but all six of those losses to bigger schools, most of them 3A.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Four of them in the Nokomis Thanksgiving tournament, the Stovetop Classic, to Triad, Civic Memorial, Taylorville, and
Granite City.
GC. Yeah.
Litchfield picked up a win last night, beat the Vandals 64-52. Connor Simmons had 20 points for Litchfield. South County beat Lincolnwood 61-43. The Lancers, of course, will be heading to the Waverly tournament coming up. They will be the 3 seed over there, and they will play a week from today. And not the 9 o'clock game for the Lancers. They'll play at high noon.
It's just the second loss of the year for them, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
It is. So. Yep. Yeah. What, Meridian beat them in the New Berlin tournament. And
Of
course, Lancers coming off of a big win earlier in the week against Gillespie. And that was a game. A lot of emotion in the gym that night.
Yeah, there wasn't. It was a Tuesday night game. And usually on Tuesday night, you don't have a great big crowd. And sometimes it's people sit on their hands. But they didn't that night. And Gillespie's a fun team to watch.
They really are. Gillespie lost a tough one last night at Greenville, 61-56. So Gillespie lost two games this week, but two tough road games. Yeah. Very competitive in both ball games right there in the fourth quarter. Nick Price had 17 last night. David Holden, one of probably the better players in the area that maybe people don't think about or talk about enough, but he had 31 last night. You think to last year's Comet squad, of course, they got all the way to the sectional. They were so powerful, so balanced last year. But even a year ago, Holden, to me, was their best player last year as well. And you go back to a sophomore, you can see, boy, this kid's got a lot of talent.
Only returning starter from last year's squad.
Yeah, they're going to depend on him a lot.
Yeah.
31 of the 61 last night, so half the points.
Well, and you know, the word's getting out, and they're going to be doubling down on Mr. Holden, and somebody else is going to have to step up probably.
Yeah.
So. But, see, Holden, he's got that skill set where
he
can handle the double team and find those open teammates.
Yes, he can.
Pena beat Staunton last night, 55-37. In other action around the area, Metro East Lutheran beat Bunker Hill, 76-48. Jerseyville over Southwestern, 52-48. 45, and North Mac beat New Berlin 53-45. Of course, tonight the Route 16 rivalry is renewed. Hillsboro traveling to Litchfield for girls high school basketball. We'll have live coverage coming up 7:20 tonight on FM 106. We'll stream it online at WSMIRadio.com. And we talked about kind of how it's been a big week for Gillespie with two tough road games. For the Litchfield girls, big week. Two big opponents coming into your gymnasium. Southwestern was in on Thursday night. Of course, the Piasaw Birds picked up a big win there and really wire to wire led 19-2 after the first quarter. Were never really challenged. Now, if you're Litchfield, you got to forget about that and quickly prepare for the powerful Hillsboro Hilltoppers.
So how do you do that?
I don't know.
You know, that's
why I'm not a coach.
Yeah, yeah.
Among many reasons.
Yeah.
But yeah, and a lot of times you hear coaches talk about high school kids, you know, naturally they have short memories.
Sure.
Which is good, you know, a beauty of being a teenager.
I think that's just a human thing sometimes.
Yes.
In many, many respects, yeah.
When you're younger, it's because you're a teenager. When you're older, it's just because you're older.
Just like,
what,
yeah.
What did I have for breakfast
that's
today?
Right. Breakfast?
Huh?
We had breakfast today?
What was that?
Okay.
But this is a chance for Litchfield. Big bounce back. You look on paper, you think, oh, this should be a Hilltopper type of game. But it's Hillsboro, Litchfield. We always talk about you toss the records right out.
Mm-hmm.
And happening, what happened on Thursday, that might, if you're Litchfield, I mean, Abby Brockmeyer was contained on Thursday night. So I don't imagine she's real happy.
No, I suspect that that's probably a fair statement.
And when a really good player has a chip on the shoulder and they're a little agitated, that usually means very big things are coming the next time out.
She hasn't been held like that all season long. Even in their other losses, she hasn't been held like that all season long.
She did not have a field goal through three quarters in that game on Thursday night. And when you think about what Southwestern has done over the years, this is vintage Southwestern.
Yeah. So typical Southwestern. Yes,
they've never,
and we mean that as a compliment.
Absolutely.
I mean, this is the highest regard here. This is what Southwestern does. They'll find that player and they'll just double down, and that's it.
And then you look at Southwestern, they've always got a really good player. Mm-hmm. Maddie Greeling is out this year. But they're so balanced year after year. When they're five players they have on the floor, you can't really just key on one and say, okay, if we stop Maddie Greeling, we're going to beat Southwestern. Because all of a sudden, Kelsey Rhodes is knocking down shots. Aaron Lopsher is hitting shots. They've got so many different ways to beat you.
And defensively, they're in your face. Yeah. They're in your face constantly. There's no rest. As soon as you hit midcourt, You're covered.
There's no free trips up the floor. If you're the primary ball handler and you're playing Southwestern, you're going to have someone in front of you the entire time.
Yeah.
And that's exhausting.
It is. Wears you down.
That's right. Hillsboro hosts Southwestern coming up into January. We'll have that game on WSMI FM 106, but that's, you know, still a month of high school basketball to play. So, I mean,
still some big games to come in the South Central Conference.
That has all the makings of just being a dynamite you know, sectional final type of ball game.
Mm-hmm. And of course, this year, once we get to the postseason, it's all subsectionals now. It's not the neighborhood regionals like we've had in the past. There's going to be some traveling involved more than likely, and we'll see how things shake out. But we'll talk as we get closer to postseason tournament time about the subsectionals and how everything's arranged.
I think the Southwestern girls are hosting their own regional.
I think, they've got their own regional this year.
So we know what that means.
That's good.
Hillsboro, Southwestern.
See in the sectional.
Yeah.
If you're Southwestern.
Yeah, if you're Southwestern, you're going to sectional probably.
The way it's set up, we could have a Hillsboro and Southwestern in the same sectional. I wouldn't think they would – or the same regional. I wouldn't think they would do that, but – who knows?
Well, basically what the deal
with the
is.
With seeding, though, I don't think that'll happen.
As far as seeding is concerned, one versus four and two versus three. And the IHSA is pretty adamant about that they're going to separate those one through four seeds, where one versus four and one regional, two and three and another regional. And then everything else is based on geography. So
if things continue to go the way they are, then Hillsboro will be headed to North Mac for the regional then.
That's a distinct possibility. Yeah. Distinct possibility. That's kind of what I'm thinking right now. Yeah. So,
I mean, there's a real good likelihood that come regional time, both Southwestern and Hillsboro are going to be state ranked.
That's probably going to happen.
Yeah,
yeah.
So they're not going to be in the same region.
Yeah. No. I wouldn't think so.
I hope not.
Well, based on what we've heard from the IHSA about getting the higher seeded teams separated so that they end up in the sectional. Based on that information, it would make sense to assume that that's probably not going to happen.
Now, T, the Cardinals also say they have a bunch of money they're going to spend.
I know.
They also say they're going to give Yadier Molina days off just because they say
and it. And they're not really hurt that bad.
Right, yeah.
Right? They're
that's
not.
Right. There's bone showing.
It's just a minor little thing, okay? It's just a couple of days.
A couple of days.
We're going to check it out in a couple of days, okay?
Just a flesh wound.
They'll have a new head trainer next year, by the way, the Cardinals.
Yes, they did. They hired a new trainer, so. Yeah. They need somebody that's going to show them how to drive the ball to the gaps again.
That would be helpful.
Yeah.
And you know, to me, maybe a little less weightlifting.
Yeah.
You know, it's baseball. It's baseball.
That's been
too much weightlifting. Randall Grichuk hurt his back last year, I think, deadlifting.
Yeah.
You've seen Holiday, Adams, and Pham all with serious quad injuries. Yeah. Something's going on.
Yeah.
It's over my pay grade.
Yeah, but Pham has always been hurt. So that wasn't a recent thing.
It's abnormal to me for three guys on a 40-man roster of a baseball team to all have serious quad injuries
in the same year.
That's not a common injury. Yeah. I don't believe a quad injury. Severe, like torn quads coming off the bone.
That's true.
Yeah.
Although Pham's was like the first week of spring training.
It was. That was. But Holiday and Adams, basically a few weeks apart, like, I don't know, weightlifting session gone bad?
Right.
I don't know. I don't know.
That's why I don't lift weights.
Yeah.
Only bad things can happen.
Nothing good ever came.
Lift
from
a hay bale or two.
Well, you know, and I, people ask me what's the difference between ball players today and ball players, you know, 30, 40 years ago, and I said it's the farm boy strength that you had 30 and 40 years ago because you had a lot of farm kids that played in our schools a lot of times, and you know, they had strength because of the chores they did.
It's true.
And now it's all because of weightlifting, so. A little bit different.
A little bit.
Yeah.
So. We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. We'll come back. We'll start talking a little bit about holiday tournament basketball, which, believe it or not, starts a week from today. Sports Saturday back after these messages.
Don't forget, Fighting Illini basketball. Illinois takes on South Dakota. Live coverage begins at 1 this afternoon right here on WSMI FM 106. Now back to Tim and Dave and Sports Saturday.
T-Toad, thank you so much. And coming up next Saturday, the Carlinville Holiday Basketball Tournament will get underway at the Big House on West Main, and we will have our traditional live coverage for you, the 6:30 and 8 o'clock games, all four nights of the tournament, with the girls and boys title games, our championship feature on what will be December the 30th. Now, in the boys tournament, they've got the green pool and the red pool. In the green pool, you have Carlinville, Litchfield, Staunton, and Brussels. Brussels in, replacing Lincolnwood this year. Just a one-year stay for Brussels, as next year, the Hilltoppers of Hillsboro will return, but for this year, Brussels, I guess they will take the ferry, David, and head to Carlinville.
Yeah.
I assume it'll be the ferry.
We'll have them on the air for one of the games, too.
We will.
Yeah.
Their ball game against Carlinville, I do believe. The red pool for the boys tournament has Gillespie, Bunker Hill, Wood River, and Mount Olive. So coming up on Saturday, the boys games on Saturday, 2 o'clock, Brussels takes on Litchfield. 3:30, Mount Olive takes on Bunker Hill. At 6:30, it'll be Carlinville taking on Staunton. That'll be a broadcast game on FM 106. And at 8 o'clock, it'll be Gillespie and Wood River. That is the first day of the boys' tournament. Joining us on the phone now is the athletic director and girls' head basketball coach at Carlinville High School, Darren Deneve. And Darren, thank you for a few minutes today. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Good morning, Tim.
Shopping done?
Sure. No, I don't know. Not really. I've been coaching basketball for 23 years now, and yeah, we figure that out as we go a little bit.
And yeah, as a basketball coach, you know, as if Christmas isn't hectic enough for normal people, you've got everything else going on as well.
Yeah, I'm very lucky to be married to a wonderful woman, and she does almost all of our shopping.
So, tradition just has a different meaning for a basketball coach at Christmas time.
Basketball is a hard deal. It's you give up your Thanksgiving a little bit, you give up your Christmas a little bit, and it's a long season anyway. It's a choice, obviously, and I like basketball, always have, but it is a little hard on the holidays.
Of course, one of the more unique things about the Carlinville Holiday Tournament is you have a girls tournament and a boys tournament running at the same time, which is very unique and very special for teams in the area.
It is. I don't know of anyone else that really does it quite like we do. In the last few years, as you know, we've tried to set it up to where school fans of schools who have both genders in our tournament can watch their teams back to back at least on the first three nights. And I think it's made a positive impact on our tournament. And you know, it's just a, like I said, it's good for the fans.
I think it's worked out fantastic, Darryl. We just ran down the boys' pools. On the girls' side, the green pool and the red pool. I missed the Festivus pool, by the way. I thought we were going to make a change there. But anyway, the green pool has Carthenville, Litchfield, Staunton, and Greenfield Northwestern. The red pool with Gillespie, Nokomis, Wood River, and Bunker Hill. And once again, Darren, the girls' tournament, a couple of really solid teams at the top with Litchfield and then Nokomis, who has already beat Litchfield this year.
Yeah, and Gillespie actually garnered the second seed. We do seed it, even though, you know, we have a hard time scheduling it perfectly with the boys-girls thing. But Gillespie and Nokomis, seeds in that pool, and then the Litchfield-Lincolnwood girls are the top seed really overall. And so, yeah, we'll see how competitive it is. I think the Gillespie-Nokomis game will be good, and hopefully we'll have some close games on our side of the pool too.
Darren, we've seen over the years when it's really a fun time at the tournament when you got both gymnasiums going with ball games simultaneously.
It is. It gives a choice to some folks to watch. I think what it does is it eliminates that 9 a.m. game.
That's nice.
You know, we don't start until 12:30 when we're using two gyms, and so that helps as well. Of course, you know, schools only have to take one bus to come here when they're bringing both teams too, and so that helps.
Now, Darren, if I'm not mistaken, that was one of your first decisions as AD, I think, getting rid of that 9 o'clock game the day after Christmas. Well done.
I don't know if it was one of my first. Probably the first, honestly, in regards to the tournament, was to move that girls' championship game to, at night. It used to be during the day. It's been, I don't know, we've just sort of been making gradual changes to the tournament in an effort to make things, we hope, better.
And with it being a girls and boys tournament, as we talked about a moment ago, having the championship session the last night, that is a perfect way to end the 4 days of basketball.
It is. We generally have pretty good crowds that night. I tell the girls, you know, I'm the girls' coach, obviously, and I'm like, look, if you make it to that championship game, the second half of that girls' championship game is about as crowded as it gets, because you got people showing up for the boys' game, you got a lot of people already for the girls' game, and you are going to have a chance to play in front of a packed house. And so, and that's held true. And some years you end up with the same two schools in both championship games, and then, of course, you know, you get a crowd that way. I suppose you could argue that it's possible this year with the Gillespie boys and girls each having a decent chance, and the Litchfield boys and the Litchfield-Lincolnwood girls having a good chance. We could have a pretty solid championship night crowd that night.
Darren, of course, these tournaments, they don't run themselves, obviously. You, along with a variety of people, are going to put in a lot of hours here coming up in a week.
We do. It's about a 13-hour day, I'd say, both of those, or all four of those days, but it's one of those things. But our booster club is absolutely fantastic. They run the concession stand, and they provide us with ticket takers, that sort of thing. Of course, there's always people at the table that work. You'll see some of the same faces you normally see working the clock or the book or doing the announcing and so on. And it's just, of course, you know, the officials are there. It takes a lot of people, that's for sure.
Darren, let's talk a little bit about your ball club this year. Have you seen growth from your team from the start of the year now to as we approach Christmas?
We have. It's not necessarily always reflected in the wins and losses, but we've been certainly more competitive lately. I've got one senior in Marley Schmidt, and she's doing a nice job. And so we are pretty young. We had two really close games this week already. Monday against Roxanna, lost by two. And then last night we played a Friday night special against Greenville. And it was a two-point game with a minute left. And just weren't able to pull either of those games out. But we've been getting better. We haven't really lost to too many bad teams at all. We've played several good teams. And so we'll just sort of keep plugging away. And, you know, we tell them it's not always about the wins and losses. It's about improving. But certainly, it's more fun to win. There's no denying that. But, we are getting better. And we're staying together. The girls like coming to practice. And so it's been enjoyable.
Well, that helps when they like coming to practice. Yeah. And Darren, I guess when you get in close ball games, maybe for the first time with the new unit, sometimes it just takes a little bit of time and experience to, you know, live those situations and be better for them the next time.
It's hard to replicate game kind of situations like that in practice. I mean, you try, but for the most part, it's just a learn-as-you-go kind of experience. And, you know, we learned some this week for sure because we were in a couple close games. And so hopefully the next time we're in a close game, we'll see if we can make some plays.
All right, sounds good. Darryl, we always appreciate your time here on Sports Saturday. Best of luck the rest of the way. We'll see you next week at the tournament. We'll talk next week about getting these pools changed.
All right. Hey, it's good to hear Terry's voice for sure.
Thank
Terry,
you, sir.
I told you that off the air, but it's nice to hear you. You know, Tim said something to me like you had a great chance to turn 85 years old, and I thought to myself, man, I thought Terry was already 85 years old.
I didn't tell him that one, Darren.
But anyway, it's good to hear your voice, Terry, and
Thank
I'm sure
you.
We'll see you next week.
Thank you, Darren. We'll see you next week, buddy.
Bye-bye.
Well, Darren has been at Carlinville now for a while. I think he basically started at Carlinville about the same time I started here.
Yeah, so
been a while.
And that tournament setup is really terrific, though. Fantastic. With you know, when it, just to reiterate, when you have the girls playing at one time, followed by the boys team for the most part, that really makes it nice for the fans.
Yeah, pretty good first AD decision.
Yeah,
if that indeed was his first.
Well,
he's made a lot of good decisions.
Yeah, he has. And you know, that tournament's got a great history going all the way back to back when I was young. So.
And we've got the potential here for some dynamite games. I just kind of look down the boys' schedule here. You've got Gillespie and Bunker Hill scheduled to play. That's a Tuesday night game. That's a 5 o'clock game. We'll have that on WSMI FM 106.
Are you looking at the girls or are you looking at the boys?
Oh, I am. You know what? I am looking at the girls.
Because I think it's 6:30 and 8 for the boys.
You're right. But it is on Tuesday. Yes. Okay. 6:30 Tuesday, Gillespie and Bunker Hill. 8 o'clock Tuesday, Carlinville and Litchfield. Yes. Those will be broadcast feature. See, two tournaments. Yeah, make sure you're looking at the right bracket.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you make terrible mistakes. But you look at Litchfield boys off to a strong start this year. Litchfield girls, of course, off to a strong start. Darren mentioned both the Gillespie squad. So really the potential, the dream scenario is Litchfield-Gillespie in both if you are running a tournament.
But that's why they play the game.
That's right.
That is why they play the game.
On a team that
and actually, I guess if you're Carlinville running a tournament like this, your dream scenario is Carlinville.
Well, Carlinville and both of them, yeah.
Which has happened.
Once in a while.
Yeah. And obviously, you know, a team that hasn't had as much success in this tournament lately, the Mount Olive Wildcats, the boys team, they look a lot better this year. So just adding to how good that boys tournament could be this season.
In Mount Olive, they are much improved just by looking at their scores this year. Not registered in the win-loss column, but they've been in quite a few ball games here during the first half of the year. We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. We'll come back with more in a moment.
Hillsboro Litchfield girls basketball tonight on the radio from Simmons Gymnasium at Litchfield High School. 7:20 pregame, 7:30 tip. We'll have it for you. We'll also stream it online at WSMIRadio.com. And as we say, it's Hillsboro Litchfield, so throw out the records.
Anything can happen.
Anything can happen, and we've seen some pretty bizarre finishes over the years with Hillsboro Litchfield.
Well, the last time they played, it looked like Hillsboro.
You had that game
in the regional final at Greenville. All Hillsboro had to do was inbound the ball. There wasn't enough time on the clock, like just a second or 2 seconds left. So even if they catch the ball and get fouled and miss the free throws, Litchfield's going to have to throw in desperation the length of the floor. There's no way that they can lose. Well, they lost. The ball went through the hands, picked up by Stephen. She laid it in, and that's the last time that Hillsboro and Litchfield were on the floor with each other. So I wonder and imagine that perhaps might be in the mind of the Lady Toppers as they take the floor tonight against their arch rivals from Litchfield. We've been talking holiday tournament basketball here this morning on Sports Saturday. We talked about the Carlinville Holiday Tournament. At the Waverly Holiday Tournament, of course, Lincolnwood heading back. They got the 3 seed at Waverly this year. They will play 11-seeded New Berlin. That'll be a noon tip the day after Christmas up at the Waverly Holiday Tournament. Carrollton is the top seed there, so they get that coveted 9 a.m. tip the day after Christmas. That's just brutal.
Yeah. It's not really that fair.
I just don't understand why you make the top seed play at 9 o'clock the day after Christmas. I just don't understand it.
Seeding's a little different, too, than normal, because it's a 1-9 matchup instead of a 1-16.
And, you know, that's for competitiveness in the first round, which is fine, but, you know, we got Steve Woolley on the phone right now. And Steve, if you're the top seed in the tournament, wouldn't you just love to play at 9 o'clock the day after Christmas?
Not exactly.
Steve Woolley, the head coach of the Southwestern Piasaw Birds, good enough to join us here on Sports Saturday Night. Coach, how you doing this morning coming off a big win on Thursday?
Yeah, we're doing good. We're actually heading up to Plains. We play up here this afternoon. So we're heading up now. Yeah, it was a nice win. I thought we played pretty well the other night. Felt pretty good about that one.
And I guess the thing about Southwestern is you guys generally get everybody's best shot because of the success you've had over the years. So, you know, Thursday night is Thursday night. You got to be full focus on Plains.
Right. Oh, yeah. I mean, we know that. I mean, like I said, we've kind of grown accustomed to that. And the kids have, you know, adapted to that. And they usually put out the best effort they can. So we're good with that.
Steve, let's talk about your squad this year. You've got three losses, but you lost to Mattoon, who's 3A. Then you've lost to Central A&M and Calhoun, who were the 1A championship game a year ago. Talk about your squad and the experiences you've had here to date.
Well, we have had a lot of good ball games early in the year. Along with those, we've had Athens, who's pretty good. Modern Day is always tough. You know, so, I mean, I feel like we've already been tested, you know, right out of the gate here. And, you know, in most of those games, I mean, we've had legitimate shots to win them, you know, so the ones that we've dropped. So, I mean, you know, we're still kind of feeling our team now, put some pieces together. And we have a few different combinations that I think we can go with at different times. So so I've been so happy, you know. Like I say, no one wants to lose, but I think the losses are good ones. And, you know, I think we've learned from them.
Steve, you got such a great group of seniors. Not the first time that you've had that at Southwestern. You've been able to have string together fantastic classes with multiple groups of girls. But this group with Maddie Greenling and Kelsey Rhodes, for me personally, I can't believe they're already seniors.
Yeah, you know, time flies, I tell you. But no, it is a good group of kids. They work extremely hard. They put a lot of time into it. They just they have a passion for the game, which as a coach, you know, you can't get enough of that. So they're a joy to be around in practice. They work hard. So I'm hoping, you know, we can stay healthy this year and have a good postseason run.
Health is always the big issue, and that's derailed you the last couple of years. How is Kelsey Rhodes this year?
She's going hard. I think, you know, she's got a brace that she wears that she's getting pretty comfortable with, and she's been very productive so far.
Steve, I know you got a big game coming up today with Plains, but once again at the holiday tournament, you will get some good tests over there at Jerseyville.
Yeah, there's a really good group of teams over there with, you know, the 1A Calhoun, you know, we've already had a game with. CM's got a really tough team, a lot of talented younger kids. We've got Collinsville, who, you know, recently beat Edwardsville. So, you know, there's plenty of competition there, so we'll get some good ball games.
Steve Woolley, the head coach of the Southwestern Piassaw Birds. We always appreciate your time, sir, and good luck today against Plains.
Appreciate that. Thanks, guys.
All right, Steve Woolley of the Piassaw Birds, and loaded up once again is Southwestern.
And when they have seniors,
yep,
good things tend to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Maddie Greenling, what a ball player.
Yeah.
I mean, she has been over the years. She stepped in as a true freshman and ran the point at Southwestern.
And ran it very well.
Ran it extremely
hard
well.
Hard to believe she's a senior already. Yeah.
I can't believe it.
Yeah, yeah.
And of course, I just always think back to their sophomore year when they got absolutely jobbed and hosed
yeah.
in the sectional. And for their sake, I hope that doesn't wind up being their lasting memory. Because, you know, yeah, Rhodes was hurt last year, so they were extremely shorthanded. Still got to the sectional mm-hmm, up there at Williamsville.
Mm-hmm,
and then, of course, the year before, and it is what it is.
Yeah, yeah. You kind of think that, you know, maybe this is the year of the birds, too.
You just wonder.
I mean, you kind of have that feeling. So.
Could be.
I don't know. That's why they play the games. We keep saying it, but that's very, very true. And it is such a long season. Darren Denis pointed out, you know, basketball season is a long season. It's the longest of all the sports seasons in interscholastic sports.
Crosses semesters.
It does. Crosses semesters. So there's a lot of it that goes, a lot of stuff that goes into it.
So I was thinking that when you were talking to Darren, you know, joking around about, you know, Christmas time and being a coach and all that. If you're a football coach, there's nothing better than if you're gone on Thanksgiving.
Right.
That means you're playing for the state title.
Yeah. Right, right.
But, you know, Darren mentioned Thanksgiving still involved as a basketball coach.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely Christmas involved as a basketball coach. And it's just the middle of the year.
Right, right.
But if you're a football coach and you got to go up to the Caliber Champagne on the day after Thanksgiving, okay. Let's go. Like when we talked to Dave Bates, of course, the great Auburn head coach, he talked about it was the first time in however many years he didn't have any stuffing on Thanksgiving. He said, I'm okay with it. I'm okay with it.
Yeah, he didn't complain, did he?
No, I think they had practice, like, you know, I think 1 o'clock on Thanksgiving Day, whatever it was.
Yeah, yeah.
And you don't mind one bit.
Yeah.
And every kid on that team was happy to miss Thanksgiving dinner and go have football practice because they were playing.
And what an experience, you know. And we've heard other coaches talk about this, about you know, you don't always have the opportunity to go deep into a state tournament type playoff, no matter what the sport is. But when you do have that chance, it's such a great experience for the kids because they get to do something different. They get to go to a place that maybe they've never been before and experience these state tournament level championship contests. So it's such a wonderful experience.
And you can never take it for granted. You know, even if you make a deep run as an underclassman, you can't just think, well, we'll be back.
Yeah.
No guarantees. You never know.
The history of sports is littered with teams that did very well one year and then fall off the face of the earth seemingly the next year.
And even if they don't fall off the face of the earth, it's hard to replicate. Look at the Hillsborough girls. Yes. They won state as juniors, and then, you know, they all got sick their senior year. But there's so many different variables. Draw, health.
Well, you know, you go all the way back to the early 70s. That's why they created the two-class basketball system and now the four-class system, because they want – you know, it's not easy to win regionals. It just isn't. And they wanted more teams to be able to participate and celebrate regional championships. So,
win a regional, it's a big deal.
It is.
Huge deal.
Yeah. It's not easy to do. If it was easy, everybody could do it.
That's exactly right. Many try, only a few succeed.
That's true.
We need a break here on Sports Saturday. We'll come back with more in a moment.
WSMI Sports Saturday rolls on. Once again, Tim Mize and Dave Jenkins.
T-Tote, thank you so much. We'll have Fighting Illini basketball 1 o'clock this afternoon, hosting South Dakota here on FM 106. And tonight, the Route 16 rivalry is renewed. Hillsborough and Litchfield girls live at 7:20 on FM 106, online, WSMIRadio.com.
And the big guy for the Fighting Illini, done for the year.
Ron Black.
Yeah.
Second big guy to go down.
Yeah.
Thorne Jr.
Meniscus
out.
Tear. He's done. Probably going to redshirt.
He'd been dealing with that all year. He was trying to play through it, and cooler heads or wiser heads prevailed here.
Sure. Probably a smart move.
Talked about the injuries with the Cardinals here. The Illini have had a bad run of injuries here the last couple of years.
The last 2 years have been just absolutely devastating for the Illini.
That's just a really unfortunate season for John Gross, because he was kind of come in. I don't want to say he was necessarily on the hot seat, but there was a lot of pressure for them.
I think everybody's
succeed.
On the hot seat of Illinois.
I
right
think
now.
Illinois, period, is on the hot seat. You know, the whole school.
But the way they ended their basketball season last year with the no show against, or the heartbreaking loss against Purdue, and then the no show in the Big Ten tournament and the NIT, and then you come into this season with high expectations, with a lot of good players coming back, and then everybody's hurt. Just a really,
you know, Tracy Abrams gets hurt in the off season. Kendrick Nunn was out the first part of the year. Yeah. Thorne Jr. Black, we just talked about. So. Yeah. Dropping like flies.
They
got to have the horses.
And, you know, and you put those people back in, if they're healthy, and what kind of a ball club do you have? You've got a team that's competitive, extremely competitive.
But I tell you what,
injuries are just devastating for John Gross.
Yeah. Got to have health, no matter the level.
You know, and we always talk about talent, coaching, and good luck. There's the good luck part of it right there.
That's exactly right. Yeah. How good are the Warriors if Steph Curry's not there?
Oh.
You know, different club.
Oh, yeah.
Different club.
Yeah, how good is the NBA if Steph Curry's not in it?
A system's nice. Oh, it's good you got a system.
Yeah.
You better have somebody elite to run the system.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No kidding.
We were talking to Steve Woolley a moment ago here on Sports Saturday. They're up, headed to Pleasant Plains to take on the Cardinals today. But we're talking briefly about the Jerseyville Holiday Tournament. What a tournament this is. They've got two pools, eight teams. Pool A, Southwestern, Carrollton, Collinsville, Freeburg. Pool B, Calhoun, CM, Granite City, and Jerseyville.
Terrific tournament.
That's fantastic.
Terrific lineup of teams there.
That's good stuff.
You know, from top to bottom, no easy easy game there.
No. Well, the smallest schools, Southwestern, Carrollton, and Calhoun, those are the three best basketball programs out of all of them.
And you've got, Southwestern's a 2A and Carrollton
and Calhoun are 1A.
Both 1A,
Everyone else is like 3A.
Yeah. Wow. Terrific tournament.
Yeah, Southwestern will play Freeburg at noon on Monday the 28th. You've got then Calhoun playing Granite City at 1:30. And Calhoun, they played in the Alton Lady Redbirds tip-off classic back around Thanksgiving. Steamrolled everybody. They've got their starting five back from last year. They got, like, I think 65 Ballmans on this year's roster. And they average about 6'3 in height. They're crazy. I mean, it's ridiculous. So many ballmen. Isn't it staggering?
We've talked about
towns synonymous with names.
Sure.
No town and no name more synonymous than Ballman over there in Calhoun.
Yeah.
I mean, it's.
You're right.
And the coach is even a Ballman.
Yeah. Yeah. And talent.
And they're all good.
That's the thing. They're all good.
Volleyball, basketball, softball, they're all good, and they're all at least 6 foot tall. And apparently none of them are related somehow. I remember asking the coach, I said, how many of this are you, like your sisters or cousins? None of them. How is that possible?
Wow.
But it be.
Wow.
They're adopted, right?
Well, no, because they're all 6 foot tall.
Oh, okay.
It's amazing. And this has been going on. I remember when I was in school, the boys' team, they would have 6'6 ballmen.
Yeah. Just the way it is.
It's just the way it is, but it's amazing. And they're always good.
Well, that's a good area over there. In that WIVC conference even, that's been always been a tough conference. And Calhoun and Carrollton always, you can throw North Green in there too.
For sure.
Yeah, always have pretty good ball claims.
The drinking water over there makes them really good.
But when you're Calhoun, you're going over.
Yeah, that's right.
And the fish.
Yeah,
but when you're going over to a tournament like Alton.
Oh, yeah.
And playing those types of schools. And you're not even being challenged. You're blowing them out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Blowing them out.
You're a 1A school, and you're blowing people out.
Blowing them out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they're definitely the favorite over there. There's no question about that. They're the odds-on favorite. See, I remember a couple years ago, it would have been 2 years ago, their coach was talking about it was state or bust. If we don't get to the state tournament, it's a failure of a season. They lost in the regional, I think to Carrollton, on their own home floor.
Yeah.
And then, of course, last year, they exacted the revenge, got all the way to the title game and lost to a ridiculous Central A&M squad, but they've got everybody back. So if they're not playing for the 1A state championship,
we would be shocked, put it this way.
And you never know.
Well, you know, and injuries and you know, lady luck along the way sometimes, just a goofy bounce off the rim sometimes. But certainly you have to think that if you have to pick a team that you think might be there, that's certainly one that would be. You would think they would have a pretty good chance.
Mm-hmm. Nothing in high school basketball is guaranteed.
No, absolutely
But that
not.
Would seem to be a pretty safe statement to make. But
then again, you look at the path that they have to go through here, and you're still going to have to battle teams in that western part of the state, you know.
And they're going to have all the pressure on them because they know, and everybody they play knows, they're supposed to win.
Targets on their back.
That's right.
A little pressure there.
That's right.
The way the regionals and sectionals are set up are different now. So
yeah.
It'll be fun to watch.
It will be fun. I think this sectional complex setup, and they tried this a few years ago and did it a few years and then got some complaints about travel distances, especially in opening round games, and we'll probably have that happen again. So it wouldn't shock me that 3 or 4 years from now we go back to neighborhood regional, but, you know.
But you're right, but
the concept is good.
It works.
Yeah,
it works.
Yeah,
because you get the best teams in the sectional, which ultimately – is the goal. And if somebody has to drive 3 hours to play a regional quarterfinal game, well, so be
it. Let's hope it's not 3 hours.
I hope not.
Well, right now, Litchfield girls are going to have to travel, it looks like. Looks like they're probably
going
to Mattoon.
I think it looks
going to Mattoon.
I bet they're going to Mattoon.
I haven't been over that way since college.
Yeah.
looks like
that's a pretty good poke there, Timbo.
That's a little travel.
Yeah.
A little travel. We know how to get there, though.
Route 16.
I'm not going. I'm going interstate.
Are you going interstate?
Faster.
Okay.
I think.
Okay.
Although you can stop at Gaze if you go on Route 16.
Hey, well, you know.
There are
advantages going 16. Yes.
I remember not believing that, and I had to see it for myself. And,
and you actually stopped, didn't you?
Oh, I stopped.
You stopped.
Absolutely, I stopped.
Okay.
I didn't take a picture, though. It was before the days of camera phones. Otherwise, I would have taken a picture. If I wouldn't have believed it if I hadn't seen it. The double-decker outhouse in Gaze, Illinois. It's real.
Yes, in suburban Windsor.
That's right. Don't blink, you might miss it.
That's right.
We need a break here on Sports Saturday. We'll come back with more in a moment.
WSMI Sports Saturday rolls on this Saturday morning. Once again, Tim Mize and Dave Jenkins.
Thank you, Teetotin. Boy, I love saying that.
It's good to be back.
Thank you, Teetot.
Good to be back.
Good to have you back. Fantastic. It's
taking a little while, but back in the saddle again. So
you're on the way.
Yes. Yes. And again, thank you to everybody who's sent cards and offered up prayers and thoughts and gifts. Appreciated. Much appreciated.
So. We've had you on a couple of ball games here, but you will be back 100% for the girls' championship call.
We're looking forward to that on
the
30th. Yeah, that's the plan right now. You know, although I reserve the right to, you know, a lot of it has to do with the stamina.
Sure. Well, it's like when you buy a ticket, you got to read the fine print. Everything's always subject to change.
Subject to change. But you know, I'm feeling better every day, and it just takes a little while to build the strength back up. So we got to get the daytime stuff down first. So,
right.
You know. But it was fun to be at the ball games. The girls' game with Gillespie, the seventh grade girls' state championship game, and then the Gillespie Lincolnwood boys' game on Tuesday night. That was
fun. Like a presidential candidate, man. All the hands you're shaking. I didn't see you kiss any babies, but you shook enough hands to be running for office.
Well, it was. People were very kind.
Yes.
So I appreciate it. So.
But we're happy to have you back.
Yes, it's good to be back, and I missed work, as you know, because it's been something we had a passion for a long time. So
as far as work goes, I know the two things you're really passionate about: high school basketball, which we're in the midst of, and Cardinal baseball, which, believe it or not, spring training will be here before we know.
The winter warm-up is less than a month away, right?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then after that, things just go crazy. In fact, I even took a look at the schedule and took a look of our first broadcast game will be, you know, the 1st of March, first weekend of March, and I'm going, oh, my gosh, before we know it, it's going to be here, so...
And hopefully, Yachty will be ready by that time.
Well,
had to have a second procedure on his thumb, which that's not good.
That's not good, and that's pretty scary. And, you know, we've talked about this. How do you extend? First off, you want Molina to hit about 280 again.
That'd be nice.
You know, 275, 280. Drive in some runs. And in order to do that, I think simply because of his age, you're going to have to get him from behind the plate. You're going to have to get him out from behind the plate and maybe put him at first base from time to time. So I think the wear down factor caught up with the Cardinals this past fall, and they were just gassed. And
probably playing him in October really hurt him too, because he probably shouldn't have been playing.
Probably should not have been playing with that thumb.
I mean, you could tell he couldn't swing the bat,
yeah,
and that wasn't helping things.
He was hurt long before the Rizzo play.
Yeah. Yes.
Long before. You know, that was just kind of the final one.
It just kind of, you know, refocused the attention on the thumb there.
Wasn't this the same thing he had last year?
Yep, different thumb.
Was it a different thumb?
Yeah,
okay.
It was his throwing hand last year when he hurt sliding into third base.
Yeah.
But you know, your point about first base is a good one. I would almost rather see, though, just give him a straight day off from behind the plate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just a day off.
Well,
which he doesn't get enough of under Mike Matheny.
Well, to me, and Lord knows I'm not the smartest man in the world when it comes to baseball and strategy, but, you know, playing 5 days, but you give him a day off and... If you want to play him that sixth day, you put him at first base.
Yeah.
You know, just don't make sure he doesn't catch 7 days a week. And, you know, you got to have some sort of system where if he catches the night game and then following day you have a day game, he shouldn't be in there. Yeah. Let's just be honest with you.
And I don't know what the numbers bear out because I don't really care to look it up. But just from watching the games over the years, it sure seems to me that he plays a lot more on Sundays after a night game on a Saturday under Matheny than he ever did under La Russa. Like, to me, a catcher, unless it's a big game late in the year with a team that you're chasing or is chasing you, your catcher, no matter how great he is, does not need to be catching the day after he caught a night game.
Well,
that used to be just common sense baseball.
That's why you have a bench.
One of those.
A what?
A bench.
Huh?
Bench, you know, like 25-man roster, you know.
I only need 20.
You only need
one of the factors in that, I think, is kind of like the Pujols factor with La Russa. Is now, ever since Pujols left, Yachty's become the face of the franchise, and I don't think they like to sit Yachty on home games, no matter if it's a day game after a night game. I don't think they like to sit him, give him a day off in front of. I think they like the fans. You know, the fans come out and you expect to see Yachty.
And there's something to be said for that. And I remember saying that when Pujols was here that he should never sit home games. But I love Yachty, and Yachty's awesome. He's going to the Hall of Fame. He's not Pujols. Pujols was a once-in-a-generational type of slugger to where, you know, it's like going to see Mickey Mantle. You know, if you're 6 years old, you're going to be devastated if Albert's not in the lineup. Now, Yachty, while fantastic and the face of the franchise, he is a catcher. You can't play him every day.
Yeah.
Even if he wants to play every day. Wayne Rice the same way. You know, he's talked his way back into so many games when he's at 110 pitches because, you know, he wants that complete game. You want your players. That's the mentality you want. The manager's job is
to say no.
Well, and that would be, I mean, that would be all the more reason to play him at first base more this upcoming season. If you don't want to give him the day off in a home game, play him at first base.
Well, I say, you know, that's why I say catch him 5 days, but play him six so he has a day off and a day maybe at first base. So
yeah.
And there are ways.
You can give him the days off
when they're
on the road. But
be a little creative, you know.
But he, you know, there's been multiple games this last year where he will have caught like 15 innings of an extra inning game and then be in the lineup the next day. This is no good.
I got a strange feeling that Yadi's not going to be ready on opening day.
Was going to miss all of spring training.
Yeah.
Is what is how I interpreted the report. Which, and they said they think he'll be ready for opening day. And like you said earlier, T, we know what that
means. We know what that means,
see
don't we?
See the All-Star break, Yadi.
Okay, so we're talking All-Star break maybe. Yeah, okay.
Which, obviously, Brian Peña is going to be the starting catcher, if that's the case. Who's going to be a backup? I guess Travis Tarmella has to be.
And now it's easier to understand why the Cardinals went out and committed 2 years to a backup catcher like Peña, who's been an everyday player and productive. They knew that Yadi was not healing properly when they made that sign.
So then they made a good move there.
Absolutely. They've gotten a backup catcher, which is good. They've gotten a utility guy. Wijerko's going to be good. He's a good ball player. There's no doubt about that. But those are their two moves. And they signed Jonathan Broxton to a two-year deal. That's what they've done. Those are their moves. Backup catcher, late to middle relief, and utility guy.
Yeah.
But remember,
what the Cubs do.
In Mozeliak, we trust. You know,
we do.
He does tend to come up with some deals, and very seldom does he fail. The Cardinals and you know the Cardinals have that grinded out mentality anyway, Tim.
You're right.
And it doesn't make any difference whether you've got a young kid that's coming up from the AAA ball club that's now in the big club, or somebody that they've acquired through free agency or whatever. They just have that grinded out mentality. But the Cubs now are set to rule the roost in the Central Division.
I agree. I think the rules of the game have changed. And you're exactly right about the Cardinals and Mozeliak and DeWitt. They've got a model, and it's always worked. And until it doesn't work, it's going to be hard for them in their minds to justify changing that model and spending money on free agents. I get that. But to me, Epstein has brought the Red Sox-Yankees right into the Cubs-Cardinals. He's taken your best players. What was it on Twitter? The Cubs just made a bid for Ballpark Village and the Stan Musial statue.
Yeah.
I mean, they are coming to step on your throat and crush you.
Yeah. Yes.
That is their goal. They're here to steamroll you. This isn't nice and friendly, lovable losers. Oh, let's have a good time and drink some beers and watch the grass grow. No, they're coming to own the division and own baseball. And to me, I'm a little concerned that the Cardinals don't have that sense of urgency. You don't have to go out and be careless. But to me, the response that they've had this offseason has not been what I would like to see when your major rival has basically become the 27 Yankees is what they've become, and you've added a backup catcher and a middle reliever and a utility guy.
But this, you know, the spring training hasn't started yet.
And the team that win the winter doesn't often win the fall.
San Diego Padres last year. I kind of expect Mozeliak to delve into the trade market. Because not once has he ever brought up, you know, we're not going to pursue trades in this offseason. And there are players to be had on the market for trades. Also, they've now been linked back to Mike Leake in the free agent market.
And Leake would be a good fit for the Cardinals.
I mean, he's the prototypical Cardinals pitcher if you're going back to the Dave Duncan days.
And the Grichuk-Piscotty factor, to me, that's the great X factor for the Cardinals. You can throw Pham into that mix as well.
Charlie Tilson, too.
But Grichuk has that raw power that the Cardinals were missing last year. If he can be healthy and play center field every day, that's huge.
Yeah.
And if Piscotty is anywhere close to what he has shown, you know, his skill set to be, then all of a sudden you've got two young guys that are cornerstone center field, right field for you. So the sky is not falling on the Cardinals, but the Cubs have made a point.
I think Piscotty is the kind of guy that's going to put the ball into play a lot. You know, that's the thing. He's not going to strike out much. He's going to put the ball into play.
And then he'll jog home after Grichuk smashes it.
There you go. There you go.
One name I think, and I've mentioned a couple times, that we're going to hear quite a bit from the Cardinal system this year is Charlie Tilson. Because inevitably, Randall Grichuk and Tommy Pham are going to go down at some point. Whether how long it is, who knows, but they're going to go down at some point. Charlie Tilson is a nice ball player, and he's really stepped up. He's a speedy 5'11 center fielder who he play all three outfield positions. He's got a little bit of pop too, but he's going to be a nice player to have from the left side of the plate.
We didn't mention it, but apparently Matt Holliday working at first base. Yes. That's a terrifying thought.
Who knows? Maybe he finally found his defensive niche.
I don't want to be the first base coach standing behind Matt Holliday when there's a low one coming in.
Well, he can't be worse than Pedro Alvarez, can
he? Yes, he can.
Can he?
Yeah, I think he can. Have you seen him play left field? I love Matt Holliday.
But he fields the ball like an
infielder. You know what his best defensive position is?
On the bench? Okay.
Hitter.
He fields the ball like an infielder.
He plays hitter.
And that's what we want him to do.
That's what we want him to do. That's exactly right.
Hit the ball.
Sports Saturday is out of time. We want to thank Darren Deneve and Steve Woolley for joining us on this morning's program. Hillsboro-Litchfield girls tonight, 7:20 on FM 106. Fighting Illini basketball this afternoon, hosting South Dakota live at 1 o'clock. For Tito, David Jenkins, I am Tim Mize. Sports Saturday is done on your 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois. This is WSMI-FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carlinville, and Greenville, the station you can count on.